His face is one of four carved into Mount Rushmore, but few know the story of how this well-known president changed the face of agriculture. The story is part of our special President's Week series, and is next on The American Countryside.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Romaine. As a former model, I used to walk runways all over the world. Paris, Milan, New York. This is Salif Diarra. As a local health worker, he walks the pathways of his village in Mali, West Africa, every day to help treat severely ill children. Like many children in the developing world, those in Salif's village are threatened by common illnesses that kill millions worldwide. But unlike villages without a local health worker, the children in Salif's village get the care they need to survive. And even though you can't walk in his shoes, you can help him with his work. Help one, save many. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org and find out all the ways you can help get the good where it needs to go. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Although he is known for his hand in drafting the Declaration of Independence and serving as our third president, Thomas Jefferson was a man devoted to agriculture.
Monticello was a plantation, and the little mountain itself, of course Monticello means little mountain, was the center of a 5,000-acre farm.
Peter Hatch is director of gardens and grounds at Jefferson's home. The way Thomas Jefferson learned of new farming techniques was similar to how farmers hear about new methods today. He read and listened.
Jefferson, you know, often talked about how mostly what he learned was through books, and he had a splendid agricultural, botanical, and horticultural library. He read authors such as Jethro Tull, and he was up on the latest developments in scientific agriculture.
His trips abroad served as opportunities to literally steal ideas that could be put to use in America.
He smuggled back in the United States, for example, upland rice. Talked about how the Lowcountry Carolina rice growers and their dependence upon lowland rices and their living in sort of these malarial-ridden swamps could be replaced by the introduction of this high Piedmont rice that would grow in drier, more elevated soils.
The effort to introduce the rice into this country was truly a matter of life and death.
He, of course, smuggled this in the United States and was returned from France under the penalty of death. And upland rice never really took on in this country, but it was sort of typical of Jefferson's experimental efforts to reform agriculture in this country.
Hatch continues to look at Jefferson's gardens and farm books to gain insights in how to farm the same land where America's third president once lived. Traveling the countryside in Charlottesville, Virginia, I'm Andrew McCrae.